from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Rocking with you until noon, and then D'Lo and KC will take over and take you into the weekend. They will be here until 4 o'clock with you on ESPN 1320. Let's do some quick scoreboard watching, and then we had an interesting question in the chatty house at the break that I want to get to. The Celtics beat the Suns last night, 127-112. That puts the Kings all the way in sixth. It's no longer a tie. The Suns are a half game back of Sacramento. Do the Suns still... How much do the Suns worry you as a threat for the sixth seed?
I think they're going to the whole time because there isn't true separation. We're talking about just a little bit of separation here. I don't know, though.
It feels like here's where I'm at. It feels like they're locking in. I think they had one bad quarter against the Celtics last night.
Okay.
The Celtics pulled away in the third quarter of that game. But I just, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, those guys are, Bradley Beal, those guys are all figuring out how to play together. Feels like they are hitting a stride that I wasn't totally sure they were going to hit this year.
Yeah, but they're 3-4 over their last seven.
No doubt.
So,
but if they go, here's sure, and that's why they're still a seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, how many games do they have left?
They're at 66, so they have 16.
If you told me they went 11-5 across those 16, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Or even, yeah, like 12-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. And I shouldn't be tough on them because their losses are to the Celtics twice, the Thunder, and then the Rockets. And, you know, again, the Rockets have crushed the Kings three times this year.
Sure.
Yeah, they're going to play the Hornets tonight, which will likely be a win.
And
so they'll move back into a full-on tie with the Kings. But then they've got at the Bucks, they've got the Sixers. Their schedule's pretty light, though. They've got the Sixers, who are beat up. They've got the Hawks. They've got two games against the Spurs. Then they play the Nuggets, OKC, and the Pelicans, and the Cavs, and the Timberwolves, and the Pelicans again, the Clippers twice. Okay, so they do end on a flurry. Like, that's not good for them. And then Kings, they play the Kings second to the last game. They play Minnesota the last game. Like, their last, after they get past the Spurs twice, Nuggets, Thunder, Pelicans, Cavs, Timberwolves, Pelicans, Clippers, Kings, Timberwolves.
Oh, my God.
So no, they're not going 12-4, Kyle. They're not.
But if they did, it'd be super impressive.
Yeah, I mean they could go, they get 9-7.
That has big 8-8 energy to me.
Yeah, 9-7, 10-6, maybe
they'll win the ones they should win. but they'll win a couple they should lose and lose a couple they should win.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, let's just, again, they've got the Hornets, they've got the 76ers who are beat up, they've got the Hawks, they've got the Spurs. So those five games out of their final 16 are pretty good. They got a good shot. So all they have to do on the final 11 games is go, you know, 5-6, and that's what we're talking about. That's still pretty good.
For who?
Like the Suns. Like I guess they could still go 10-6 in 16 because they've got five really winnable games up front.
So 10-6, that puts them at 48 wins.
Hmm.
And the Kings have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, they're tied.
They played one, right.
They played two games. And then they play the second to the last game of the season. This is the abnormal.
They've played four games.
They've already played
they're
four
two
games.
They're 2-2. Right.
Yeah, they're okay. 2 games That's each. Right. Yeah, 2 games each.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big loss for the Suns last night. Every Kings fan is an anti-Suns fan the rest of the way.
Heck yeah.
Like that's big time. The Clippers beat the Bulls 126-111. Are the Clippers... They're now... Real quick. The Clippers are four up on the Kings.
In the loss column, yes.
In the loss column, yeah. I don't think the Kings are catching them.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not convinced about the Clippers either.
They have just enough to me. Every time I think, oh man, this is where the Clippers are going to lose like 9 in a row.
Mm.
They go out, and I know the Bulls don't have Kobe White and this. Now that's another one, by the way. Strained hip.
How in the world does he survive that fall with a strained hip?
He did like the splits with his knees all bent. Ugh. and Pascal Siakam landing on top of him and like folding him in half. Hip sprain,
he's fine.
Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, like...
I was thinking multiple amputations. Like, yeah, it looked awful.
It did look awful.
Anyways.
Per Tankathon, remaining strength of schedule, the Phoenix Suns have the third most difficult strength of schedule remaining at 549. And that's tough, man. Again, all of these... You got Denver, you've got OKC, you've got Timberwolves twice, you've got Clippers twice, you've got Bucks, you've got Cavs. The Kings don't even make their list. On top of that, they have the Kings one game. That's crazy tough. The Kings have the eighth highest, worst strength of schedule at 51.2. And again, they still have the Celtics. They have one more against OKC. They've got the Clippers one more time. They've got the Pelicans one more time. The Knicks twice. And then the Suns. And then the other team we were talking about, the Clippers, are 15th at 500. Their record against is 500.
Hmm.
So yeah, it should be interesting. This is going to be a good finish. Like I know we've been caught up with so much of the.
You gotta make up 8 games in 17.
For who?
The Clippers have 17 games left. Like.
Yeah.
Or 4 games in 17. Sorry.
4 games. Oh yeah. Four games. 4 games is
four.
And you play each other. You gotta beat them.
As you say, you gotta beat them.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not going to be easy, but if they have an injury situation, which they always do.
I was going to say, it appears they do.
So, I mean, they already have Russell Westbrook, who's out for most of the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But then if Kawhi is going to start having back problems, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying there's a chance, Kyle.
Yeah, and then last one, Oklahoma City beat Dallas, doing the Kings a solid. Dallas, now a full game back of Sacramento, 2 in the loss column. 126-119 the final there. And now Luka is dealing with a hamstring injury. He didn't even play last night.
Well, but see, here's the problem. Dallas has the 26th most difficult schedule remaining. Their win percentage against is only 470.
Ooh.
They've got a game against the Pistons, Spurs, Hornets, 2 against the Jazz, 1 against the Hawks, and 2 against the Rockets at the end here. And they only have their difficult games, 1 against Denver, 1 against OKC, 2 against the Kings, 1 against the Heat, 2 against the Warriors, which the Warriors make their difficult games, and that tells you how easy their schedule is.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, those 2 games against Sacramento are going to be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go to both of those.
In Sacramento.
March 26th and March 29th.
Yeah.
What do you think, Luka Doncic does for 3 days in Sacramento?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really good question. Mm. I'm going to guess he doesn't spend any time in Sacramento.
We can explore that. We can explore that once they come visit.
Yeah.
What does Luka do on his day off in Sac?
I don't think he stays in Sac.
Might go drink beer. Good beer scene out here.
That's true. He could just drink a lot.
Would that shock you?
No.
If he went down to Urban Roots and...
No, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Kings didn't draft him. They knew, like, even as a 18, 19-year-old, even as, like, 17-year-old, he just partied hard. Now, that might not be the case still, but I think it is.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
And he's still good as heck.
Yeah.
What a player. All right. I want to get to that thing from the Chatty House that I thought was super interesting that will continue a conversation we've been having for what feels like all week. And we'll talk about when we need to, or when we should, or when we will start to believe in the Kings. We'd love to get into that discussion as well. Plus, coming up next, we've talked about how tough of a matchup the Knicks might be, or at least I have. We'll have some keys to victory for you right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. How about it? Kings taking on the Knicks at Golden 1 Center. I'm Kyle Madsen. He is James Hamm. That De'Aaron Fox, Jalen Brunson matchup is going to be so fun, dude.
It's a great matchup.
I've looked forward to watching individuals at Kings games this year. Chet Holmgren, Victor Wembanyama, Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a player that I like very much. But no matchup. Like player for player, Fox v. Brunson. No matchup has tickled my fancy like this.
Yeah, I get it. This is, for me, it's one of those matchups that you just, like, you pencil in as almost like hidden on the card. You know, it's like, it's like when you're looking at like a fight card, you're like, okay, well, it's not the main event, but it's right there. Like the main event is the game itself, but it's like that buildup to the main event that everyone really is excited to watch.
Yeah.
And to me, it has the potential to be just like spectacular.
If De'Aaron Fox played for the Lakers or a team that gets greater national coverage than the Kings do, Brunson versus Fox would be the matchup of the weekend. It'd be everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like that would be the marquee thing happening. But because it's Sacramento and people don't want to pay attention, this gets pushed down in a way that it shouldn't, because this is two of the best young guards in the NBA going at it.
Yeah, and I also, Kyle, this is two teams with such like diametrically opposing like ideas and feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offensive-minded, really, like, again, the Kings have moved up to eighth in the league and scoring on the season. They are a juggernaut again. And since the All-Star break, they're starting to get better and better and better as an offensive team against a grinder, physical. Like, this is finesse versus physical. And to me, it's a really, really interesting matchup, because like you don't know who's going to show up, which team for each side. Like, who's going to be able to like imprint their will on the game?
The Kings are like, basketball is an art, and we move about the court as one. We are a river. And the Knicks are like, we brought a sledgehammer!
There's only one ball, and I'm not giving it away!
You don't get to have it?
Yeah.
We will move about the court. We will tear up the court!
You've got a 6'4".
Replace it with cement!
Guy playing power forward who averages like 13 rebounds a game.
Josh Hart's dog, bro. I love Josh Hart.
There's so many times I've said, if the Kings only would have just got Josh Hart, I mean, I'm like, he's not that good. It's like, oh, dude, no, he is.
He can play, bro.
Yeah, he is.
They have a lot of players who fall into the... Jalen Brunson is extremely skilled.
Yeah.
He does not fall. But Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, they're not going to be the dribble, step back, pull up three, you know, spin in the lane, sick finish off the glass. They're not. They are just hoopers. They are going to be in the right places. They are going to do the right things. They are going to hustle their asses off. They are a really, really awkward, tough team to deal with. How do the Kings get a win? Let's talk about it right now. We got keys to victory for you, brought to you by nobody, right? Yeah, nobody. At least not yet. Soon, maybe. Investors? Possibly you.
It could be you.
James Hamm, what's your first key to victory?
Match their physicality. Straight up, this is one of the more physical teams you're going to run into all season long. And they know how to play hoop, and they're going to punch you. And you got to keep coming back and fighting the good fight. This is a team that last year the Kings beat at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Brown walked into the press, into his media press scrum, and unloaded on his team because they got dominated on the offensive glass.
Oh, that's right.
That was
the national game.
Hideous.
Yeah.
At Golden 1 Center. And
yeah. Josh Hart had like 10 offensive rebounds, 8?
Whatever it was absolutely ridiculous. And Mike Brown wanted no part of it. And the reason why he wanted no part of it is because the reason the Kings lost to the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs is that they looked like they were playing the Knicks half the games. And they gave up all those offensive rebounds and all of those spray threes. And it was not good. Yes, Josh Hart had 8 offensive rebounds, 7 defensive rebounds. He had 15 overall in 32 minutes off the bench.
The Knicks had 23 offensive boards.
You let a 6'4" dude come in there and grab 15 rebounds against you. And that's exactly 23 offensive rebounds, 35 overall. And, you know, like, look, the Kings in that game, they got out-rebounded 58-42.
Did you know, Josh Hart facts real quick before we get back to keys. Did you know he has 4 triple-doubles this year?
Really?
Yeah. He has 2 games with 19 rebounds, 1 with 18, another 2 with 15, 1 with 14.
That's wild.
Josh Hart's a dog, dude. Yeah. And that's actually, it's funny. Typically, one of us enters these keys in the rundown and the other one can create theirs based on what the other person did.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do that because of a scheduling thing today. And you were like, hey, what are your keys real quick? I'll throw them in. And mine are like just almost identical to yours. So mine is be a dog.
Yeah.
Like whatever you brought against the Bucks, whatever you brought against the Lakers, you got to bring that to the table in spades.
That's
against
right.
This next team. You got to match them. Number two.
Number two. It's pretty clear. Put a body on Hart. Just put a body on.
We just explained why.
We did.
What's funny is this was yours. I had not seen it. And you said, all right, what's your second key? And I said, you got to get a body on Josh Hart.
That's right.
Like verbatim.
I'm like, that is almost exactly what I just said.
So I second that.
Yes, you second
this is
that.
This is a dude who, like you said, he's listed at 6'4". And he's just one of the best rebounders in the league.
He's averaging 8 rebounds a game at 6'4".
As a 6'4" guy, there are centers who don't average 8 boards a game.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, just to point out the obvious here, is he's going to go up against, at that position, he's probably going to go up against Harrison Barnes. And Harrison Barnes at this point, he's averaging 2.8 rebounds a game at 6'8". 2.8.
Yep.
Now, he does... In Barnes' defense, he does play against alongside the league's best rebounder in Domantas Sabonis, 13.5 rebounds a game. So there are fewer rebounds because Domas is there. But if he does not focus and keep Hart off the glass, the Kings are going to get thumped.
We're going to play a game real quick while we're talking about Josh Hart. Who averages more rebounds, Josh Hart or Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Oh, that's easy. Josh Hart.
It's not even close. What'd you say Hart was at this year?
8.
5.6 for our guy Triple J.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson, 7 foot.
Well, that and his excuse used to be, hey, I play next to Steven Adams.
Yeah.
No. No, Steven Adams isn't there. What's your excuse now? I don't know. You're just bad? I guess that's...
No, it's GG Jackson, bro.
It's like, I shoot too many threes. It's like, okay, well, that's why
then
you're not
stop.
Getting... That's why you're not getting offensive rebounds. What about on the defensive side of the ball?
I'm shooting too many threes at 32.6%.
Ooh. Oy vey, everybody.
He shoots as many threes. He is a 7-foot center, a reigning defensive player of the year, whose 3-point attempts and total rebounds per game are identical.
Oh, no.
5.6.
Oh, that's that there is a stat. Put that one on a t-shirt.
Number three. Oh, where is it? Number three.
Don't allow a Dante DiVincenzo revenge game. Like, Dante was not happy about the way things worked out here in Sacramento. Was not like I was right there in the middle of all that. It was not good. The Kings ended up pulling his qualifying offer and allowing him to leave instead of having him be a restricted free agent and just let him walk. And Dante DiVincenzo has played
so disrespectful.
Really, really well. He's played really well. And like, he's a player that would have fit perfectly in Sacramento as that sort of versatile, do everything type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings could use a guy like him, and clearly it will never be Dante.
He has 4 30-point games this year.
Mm.
Very, very much capable of it. And that's one where if you told me Dante DiVincenzo went 5 of 7 from three.
Well, and the other thing you got to remember about Dante is he's an excellent rebounder.
Yes. So especially on the offensive glass.
You start stacking up all these guys that are perimeter players for them that are excellent rebounders, and mm-hmm. you start realizing that you have to, there is no letting off the gas against a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there with you. Number three for me, you got to keep Jalen Brunson out of the paint as best you can.
Yep.
And that's going to get something that we're going to talk about coming up in a bit. But when Jalen Brunson gets in the paint, he is very good with his footwork, very good at creating space and scoring from there. But when you start to collapse down, he's also a very effective passer out of there. And he will get open looks for OG Anunoby, for Dante DiVincenzo, for Josh Hart. And those guys will knock him down when they're open. So as best you can, you got to keep Jalen Brunson out of the paint. Easier said than done, for sure. But if you can limit those paint touches, I think you can limit the Knicks offense a little bit. Want to remind you, coming up later on, later on Saturday, we have the Big East Championship, 3:15, and then the Conference USA Championship at 5:15, and then Sunday at 8:45 a.m., we'll have the Ivy League Men's Championship. I'm going to be locked into that one because whoever wins the Ivy League Championship, I'm picking them to win in the first round. And then at noon on Sunday, we have the American Athletic Conference Championship as well. ESPN 1320 is going hoops crazy. You could even say we're going mad. So much basketball, so little time. Right here on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment coming up, the handoff coming up in 15 or so minutes. It's KC's turn today. Kenny Caraway will be in. Talk a little Kings. Talk a little Knicks. Talk some Niners with him, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know if we've ever talked Niners with Kenny.
I think we have, haven't we?
Yeah, probably during the Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
I imagine. Anyways. All right. Kings, Knicks, two things I want to get to first, though. Aaron Donald retired this morning, which has led everybody on the internet to start pulling receipts from when Aaron Donald got drafted. And if you'll remember, I don't know how locked into the NFL draft you are, particularly the 2014 NFL draft.
Okay.
But when Aaron Donald came out of Pittsburgh, it was like, can't miss. This guy is as sure of a prospect as there's been. Mm-hmm. He is going to step into the league and dominate. But because of his position, he fell down the draft a little bit. He goes 13 to the Rams. It was one of those slam dunk type of deals. Like, everybody knew this guy was good. And now people are quote tweeting draft analysts or themselves today being like, called it. Like, if Aaron Donald's as good as advertised, the Rams are going to dominate. Aaron Donald is going to be a dominant player. I like this pick for the Rams. Like, yeah, man, everybody did. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in on Aaron Donald. You're not new.
Yeah. You're not special.
Imagine in 15 years being like, hey, I called it on Victor Wembanyama. You guys all, I was there.
You know what you should do with that? You shouldn't like retweet it because now you're looking like a fool. Mm-hmm. Just send it to your mom. Send it to your dad. Like
guys, I did it.
See, I was right about this. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, you're awesome.
Like, wow, good job, dude.
You should do this for a living.
Print it out, put it on the fridge.
Good for you.
Mom, Dad, look what I did at work today.
Look what I did 10 years ago. I called it. Called it.
Wow. Aaron Donald is good. Let's harken back to 10 years ago when I thought Aaron Donald would be good. You and everybody else.
Everyone thought he would be good.
Hit me with the old takes exposed if somebody's like, I don't see it. Hit me with that today.
Yeah.
That's way more fun. That's what, dude, when there are so many dudes that I have just been just with. I was... For example, Johnny Manziel. I was a big Johnny football guy. It's like, Johnny Manziel is going to be that dude. Give me him over every quarterback in this draft.
Yeah.
And that swing and a miss. So that to me is way more fun to be like, oops, than to be like, look, I know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is this year. Everybody's like, this guy is excellent. Big, fast, has the pedigree, just going to be an awesome player. In 10 years, I don't want to hear about how everybody thought Marvin Harrison would be good. Like, yeah, no, we do.
He's literally Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. Like, everybody was there.
Anyway. His dad is a legend.
Is he? I don't know who his dad is.
You have no idea.
Didn't I?
Well, it was before your time, Kyle.
When should we believe in the Kings? It feels to me like here's the deal, because I have been saying, for the last 2 months, every time they have a good win. No. I'm not being bamboozled by this. I am not being sucked in. And then they go beat the Bucks as soundly as they did the other night and played a really, really complete game, a dominant game, start to finish, wire to wire, 35-point win over the number two seed in the East. The number two seed in the East, mind you, that had been playing excellent basketball since the All-Star break. And the Kings dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, no, because they could very easily go lay an egg against the Lakers tonight. The next night. And then they went and dominated the Lakers. game was closer than it was against the Bucks, but there was never really a time in that fourth quarter. It got like, ooh, this might get interesting. Oh, nope, not interesting. There's Harrison Barnes, another three. Oh, it's a 9-point game. Oh, nope, back to 12. Oh, up to 14. Okay, back to 11. Oh, nope, back to 14. Like, it never got super interesting where it felt like the game was in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's two in a row. In two games they needed to have. Particularly the Laker game. This Knicks game on Saturday, I think, is the one for me.
Okay.
Where I will start to buy in. And this is not that they're going to win a championship or something like that. But it's where I will start to buy in as, okay, this is a bona fide playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a team that could be scary in the postseason. This is a team that could swing an upset or two. Because I'm not there right now. But if they go in against this Knicks team, that again, not that the Knicks are world beaters, not that the Knicks are the Celtics, but the style of basketball they play, if the Kings can either take them out of that game or match them, and they don't even have to beat them by a lot, but beat them at Golden 1 Center, where again, the Kings have struggled all year, now I'm at the point where I'm going, okay, I think this is where we've wanted them to go and where we've wanted them to be, and it looks like they're there now.
Okay, so I'm going to take a different approach.
Like, okay.
I'm okay. Like, if they beat the Knicks, yeah, that number one, you got a 3-game win streak, and that's huge.
That's big time.
Right? If they lose to the Knicks, so first of all, I look at this game as a coin flip game. Like, okay, you're basically two teams that are right around the same place in the standings, just one in the East, one in the West. And you're contrasting styles. You got, again, a very, very strong defensive physical team versus a high-scoring offensive juggernaut that loves to spray three, right?
Love to spray the hot guys.
That's it. I'm going to look at the next eight games and tell you that as much as I think a win against the Knicks would put them in prime position to make the playoffs, to not be in the play-in game, the next eight games, we're talking they need to go 8-0. Or they need to go 7-1, or they need to go 6-2. And yeah, after that, if they don't do that, if they can't even hit 6-2, then I'm not buying what they're selling the rest of the way. Because it gets a lot more difficult after this stretch.
So those eight games you're talking about, it's the Knicks.
Yep. No, I mean after the Knicks.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the Knicks, it's the Grizzlies,
mm-hmm,
then at Toronto, at Washington, yep, at Orlando. Home Sixers, who are not the Sixers who looked like a contender in the East, they're in the play-in. And then two games at home against the Mavericks.
And then the final one is the Jazz.
And then the Jazz, right?
That's eight games. That's eight games where
after the Knicks,
you make your case that we are a playoff team, that we don't just get up for the Knicks and the Bucks and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
We get up for the Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Magic, the 76ers, Dallas twice, and the Jazz.
And not just get up for, like, understanding the gravity of where you're,
yes,
at in the season.
You take, those are the eight games that decide everything. Because after that, you go at Knicks, at Boston, at Nets,
you have Clippers
at Thunder
first.
Yeah, you have Clippers. At Knicks, at Celtics, at Nets, at OKC. Then you come home to play the Pelicans. You got the Suns. Ooh. You got the Trailblazers. Of those games,
dang,
the final one, what is that? 8 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The final eight games. There are two games that you can circle and say, that's pretty much a win.
Yeah, Blazers and Nets.
Blazers and Nets.
Two teams going the wrong way.
Yes. Outside of that, every other game is going to be knockdown, drag out. You're going to get beat by the Celtics, most likely, because you lose to the, and the Celtics is, you got at Knicks, at Celtics on a back-to-back. Yeah, you're going to lose that Celtics game. You might as well not You might as well not even show up for that game. Just like say, hey, you know.
Hey, now that you said that, they're winning that game.
Yeah.
Well, and then losing to the Nets 2 days later.
If not, I'm sending in like every single one of my two ways are playing. And yeah, like you know what the final outcome of that game is before you even get there. But then you got to figure out a way to survive that eight game stretch where you could go 2-6.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to counterbalance that 2-6 is to go 6-2 in the games before that. And then you're at 500. That might not get you in. That it'll get you into the play-in. It might not get you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so eight. So I guess maybe the next game might be the pivot point, because that's, let's say you go 6-2 and you go 2-6. Okay, that puts you at 12 8-8 mm-hmm. over that stretch.
46 wins.
Yeah, and the 47th win. If so, maybe the next game is the pivot point that means everything. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I just, if they continue, because I think I'm with you. The Knicks are good enough that if the Kings lose 102-100, I'm not gonna, as long as they just can't get punked. Like, that's what I'm worried about on Saturday. I'm not worried about that the Kings aren't good enough to beat the Knicks. They are. Like, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
They very much are. But the Knicks are the kind of team that could come out and, to me, punch the Kings in the mouth and go up 14-2 in the first quarter and then just never really look back.
Yeah.
And, or it's 27 all after the first quarter, and then the Knicks go on a 10-0 run in the second quarter at some point, and the Kings let go of the rope. Like, this is the type of team that the Kings, to me, have really struggled against. And if they can put together a good game where we don't come out of it going, man, they got to use the phrase I've been using for 2 weeks now, they got stuffed in a locker.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
Yeah.
If they can just avoid doing that, I'll feel way better about those 8 games you just mentioned. Because now you're going, hey, you can go 6-2 there.
Well, that, and you're, if somehow you get out of the next game and you're riding a 3-game win streak, maybe you carry momentum. Maybe you do go on a run. Maybe you put up 10 wins in a row. Maybe you put up 8 wins in a row, because
mm-hmm.
it's sitting right there, right? If you already got a 3-game win streak, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you got to win all 8, but 3-game win streak coming into that, you mm-hmm. should be able to carry some momentum and maybe come out of it with a much better record than and distance yourselves, especially those 2 games against Dallas.
Yeah. So this is a huge stretch coming up, and this Knicks game for me, I'm going to learn a lot about what the last 2 nights have been for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Was that just, they caught the Bucks on a bad night, and then they just kind of owned the Lakers, and it turns out we didn't really learn anything major, or did they turn a little bit of a corner? And does that corner have to do with what the starting lineup looks like? Because let me tell you, if the Kings are healthy,
mm-hmm.
and Kevin Herter's back, it looks like Trey Lyles probably going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really got a true medical update other than, he's out with a sprained knee. I haven't heard anything yet. There's practice is going to be at 12:15 today in like 15 minutes. Well, in 30 minutes from right now, but 15 minutes after the show. We might learn a little bit about Trey right then.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess Trey's going to miss, a week or two.
Okay.
But Kevin Herter, we don't know about yet. Yeah.
But let me tell you. If Kevin Herter is in the starting lineup against the Knicks and the Kings get punked, I'm going to have something to say.
Yeah.
Right now, I get it. I get that you can't. It's egos and it's this and that.
I'm going to guess,
but if you come off your 2 best games of the year and then you lay down against the Knicks,
I'm going to flip this around on you.
Don't do that. I am not prepared.
I'm going to flip this around on you.
Oh, boy.
If Kevin Herter is healthy and you don't start him against the Knicks when he's from upstate New York and everyone there is watching him play,
mm-hmm.
That would be a blow.
No. Look, yeah. I'm not. Kevin Herter, if he's healthy, is going to start.
Yeah.
And for the reasons we talked about yesterday, I get it. I get why. I understand the logic of it. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, if that's going to be the case, and the Kings have, we tried logging in, it didn't work. If that's so, Kevin, if he's healthy, he's going to start, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, if he starts and the Kings look hapless, it's going to be really, really difficult not to tie their best basketball to Keon Ellis being in the starting.
Oh no, I totally agree with you.
That's the point to me where And at some point, we talk about this with about Mike Brown and the decisions he has to make, and you worried about losing Kevin Huerter if you take him out of the starting lineup. And I understand it. I am there and I support the decision to keep Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup for now. But at some point, let's say Saturday goes sideways and the Kings lose and just get mollywopped and are just not competitive in the game. And Kevin Huerter starts. At some point, your locker room and your players are going to start looking at you as a coach and going like, hey, man, there's a very clear solution to this problem we've had all year.
Yeah.
We saw it the two previous games. And there's a very clear solution to the handoff, and that's adding Damian Barling to the mix. Here he is, D'Lo and KC, coming up at noon, and they will take you to 4 o'clock. I'm of the mind that if Kevin Huerter starts Saturday and the Kings go get popped by a very good Knicks team, I don't know how you continue to justify having Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup.
Yeah, there's probably a few things that come into play with that, right? Like, how is the team shooting? How's Kevin playing? Like, I don't, like, the Knicks are a good basketball team. They're a grimy basketball team. Like, they're going to play a specific way. They won, was it last night, scoring like 106 points or something?
105-93, like 105, I think, was the final, yeah.
I get that line of thinking. I think it's a bit unfair. I think the full context of the game is important.
No,
but if you can point to, like, I hate that I do this, and I'm sorry to Kevin Huerter, but there was a stretch at the end of the Wemby game, so the first Spurs game, the end of the first half, they went at him like five straight plays to the basket.
Happens a lot.
Five straight plays. And it was like, God, this is tough. If you're able to, if a nobody like me is able to see live or able to see like on the TV screen or on film, they're targeting Kevin Huerter. Then there's discussions like, and how does that translate to the offense? What does that do, you know, with De'Aaron? What does that do with, you know, all of the different guys? But I get like that's going to be weighing on everyone's mind tomorrow.
Yeah, I would even say the Bucks. As soon as, like, they brought Pat Connaughton in, and he just went at her
immediately.
And even before that, they were running at him again and again. He is being hunted right now, and some of that is like the Kings need to do a better job of stopping that, of like not switching on some plays and switching on others. I know there was a play where Kevin Huerter like tried to fight through a screen, and Keon Ellis was right there and just took the guy. And then all of a sudden Kevin took the guy, and they're like, what are we doing here? Like, communicate. And it was like, well, I'm trying. You could say it was like, I'm trying to fight through. Yeah. Like, but that's not how this can play out like down the stretch.
Yeah.
And like, look, I think there is like, in a weird way, the Trey Lyles injury, we don't know how long Trey is going to be out. It might open a door for Mike to say, you know what? I need the scorer off the bench, and I need the defender in the starting lineup, and I need your three-point shooting where you're going to get more opportunities off the bench, Kevin Huerter, because I don't have Trey Lyles. And it could give Mike a little bit of an avenue.
Put him at the three. Like, you could put him at that three position if you have to.
Put him alongside
like
Monk.
Like Davion, Malik, and
Kevin
Huerter like at three.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do, but I'm saying like there might be a way in which a small window just opened for Mike to do something different, and we'll see.
Sorry, Kyle.
No, go ahead.
I asked yesterday, like, what if Kevin Huerter did what Russell Westbrook did and went to Ty Lue and said, hey, the team's obviously in a groove right now. I think I could be a better help off the bench.
I'd be shocked.
No, I of course I would be too. But Russ did do it. What if Kevin Huerter did it? If you're Mike, do you go along with it, or Like, I need. Thank you. That's all in. That's literally what all in is. But I need you here, because we think that, oh, Mike's battling with this decision, or Mike's going to have Kevin Huerter on a short leash. He might want Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup. Met with silence.
Maybe.
I understand he might not want Kevin Herter on the Sacramento Kings, but the fact is he is. And no, you've got battles to fight together for the next month.
But I think it's I'm just having a hard time believing that Mike Brown in that spot, because I think, and if you guys disagree, let me know. I feel like, based on what Mike has said about this, what Coach Brown has said about this, that this is more a situation where he's worried about losing Kevin Herter, where he's already benched Kevin Herter in the preseason, and we saw that that affected him.
Yeah.
Where, hey, he puts Kevin Herter on the bench now, and he was useless rest of the year.
Herter's been watching his back since training camp.
Yeah, but
he complained about his minutes already in a night where he did not deserve to play a ton of minutes. I don't know that if he went to Mike Brown, that Mike Brown wouldn't be amenable to that, given how well the Kings have played with Keon Ellis in the starting lineup.
I would also say, look, we're acting like Kevin Herter doesn't play basketball well at all anytime that
no,
he's just
right.
And that's just not the case. And what Kevin does.
But what he doesn't do is play the way Mike wants. That's all we're talking about.
On the defensive side, but on the offensive side, Mike talked about this the other night, the gravitational pull of Kevin Herter, it helps everybody else on the offensive side of the ball, because people don't track Keon Ellis. They don't even track Keegan Murray the same way that they track Kevin Herter. When Kevin Herter comes off the DHO and he brings out the big loop on the outside, everyone slides that way. And he's the only player on the Kings that does it. And so there is something to the way that Kevin plays that is extremely valuable to the starting lineup. And that's part of Mike isn't just not making this move strictly because he's worried about losing Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Kevin is a good basketball player who's struggled all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Kevin was their third leading scorer last year on a 48-win team.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, for whatever reason, from start to finish, it's been a rough go.
He's averaging like 10 points per game?
That's yeah, tough. But over his last couple of weeks.
He went from the third leading scorer on a 48-win team to like the sixth leading scorer on a 48-win team.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that is, his three-point percentage is down, but I mean, you look at I think a day off is probably a good thing, but over his last, seven games, it's struggling. It's 4 points, 8 points, 12, 2, 0, 6, and 11.
Man.
Damien, what do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
I don't know, bro. Yeah, well, we've got Kyle. Got the insiders coming up on D-Lo and Casey.
Yeah,
we'll carry you.
We'll go over the playoff picture and everything that happened last night with the Suns and the Mavericks and what they've got coming up. Vibes are good, man. I was LeBroning on the way in, had the R&B music up.
This is great. Driving gloves?
No gloves. No gloves.
I was certain you had a pair of driving gloves.
I'm definitely, when the birthday rolls around this summer, some driving gloves could be on point.
That's good to know. I'll get them for you. It's coming up. D-Lo and KC, next. All right, thanks, guys.
We survived the week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.